From Lake Itasca to Lake Pepin and the rest of the land of sky blue waters, we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always cluttered, always topical Twin Cities sports scene. We've had a pretty good weather run this week. Been in the mid-80s, not too hot and muggy like we had last weekend, but I see it's going to heat up again.
Well,
all weekend long.
Yeah. All weekend long we've got it now. I mean, it started out good this week and then slowly but surely creeping back into the upper 80s with the humidity. But
so put your speed stick on. No skipping. I know you're an every other day guy, but you have to do the whole weekend.
Wow. I even put a clean shirt on for you today.
That's pretty good. It's white, too. I can tell it has to be clean. I didn't see any stains.
Oh, man. I didn't know this was going to get so personal so early.
It really usually
takes you about a half hour or so to get
it. Went off the rails quick.
Oh, dear. Your Twins are off the rails, speaking of which, on the road, losing 4 out of 6. The good news is, however, they got another good performance out of Irvin Santana to finish up that road trip in Anaheim. He gave, 8 innings, 4 hits, 7 strikeouts. I mean, they needed that from him. Now, he's had 5 outings, and 4 of them have been pretty good.
So let me see if I've got this right. The road trip really was the Irvin Santana road trip. It was a bookend, right? He started in Oakland with that dominant performance on Friday night, the shutout. Am I correct? And another shutout, 8 innings, in Anaheim, down the coast on Thursday. Yeah, he's been very good, with the exception of 1 outing. That's why they got him. That's why a lot of us were saying, look, that's the arm you would try to add at the trading deadline, because they didn't have him for 80 games. So now we know why the Twins made him their highest-paid free agent ever, and they really needed that ball game on Thursday, because you don't want to come home limping facing the New York Yankees, Pittsburgh, and Seattle on the homestand at 1-5 on the trip. Even though they're still in pretty good shape with that wild card lead right now, nonetheless, you didn't want to have something that could really snowball.
Yeah, and it looked like it might, because you know, they had the comeback against Oakland, ended up blowing that Saturday night game, got blown out on Sunday, got blown out on Tuesday, played better on Wednesday, but still ended up losing. And then it's like, okay, as you said, if they lose on Thursday, then they come home, went a 1-5 trip. That would have been, I think they had lost 9 in a row to the Angels coming into Thursday. They snapped that skid. That, by the way, was the longest losing streak in team history to the Angels by the Twins. They snapped that losing streak. You know, and this team has been resilient. I was waiting to come on this weekend and say, are the wheels coming off? But when you have a guy like Santana that can stop a losing streak, and that's exactly what he did. That's why some of these really good teams, you never see them lose 7, 8, 9 in a row, because they got a guy in the middle of that rotation, or the top of the rotation, that can stop losing streaks. And Irvin Santana has done that.
Yeah, and I don't think you can underestimate the magnitude of the win on Thursday out there in Southern California. I know you play 162. Had they lost, the wheels would not have come off. Maybe they would have gotten a little bit loose, but I still think they would have been in decent shape. But to know that you're flying back to the Twin Cities with the win, you're 2-4 on the trip, certainly not what you wanted, but not a debacle, not 0-6, not 1-5. And you have to be encouraged by Santana. As you said, he stopped the skid. And the funny thing is, they were very good going into the break.
Right.
You know, and then they had that first game out against Oakland, and it's like, uh-oh, here come the Twins. They're going to get real hot again. But that's baseball. And I think of all the sports that you can ill afford to go into panic mode the most, it's baseball, because you have so many games. You're going to have dips and valleys and peaks and all that stuff. And it's how you weather the storm that really tells the tale. And look, with 162 games, as somebody once said many years ago, you're going to definitely win a third. You're going to definitely lose a third. It's what you do in the other third that counts. So the Twins have been pretty good so far in the other third. I still think they're a ball club that's going to be right end. They have the leadership. What's going to happen in the next week with the trading deadline? I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Do you think they make a move?
Well, you keep hearing rumblings about getting a catcher. Kurt Suzuki,
yeah, he struggled.
Doesn't have the bat going like he did a year ago when he was an all-star. He still handles a pitcher very well. He's very savvy behind the plate.
A.J. Pierzynski?
I've heard that name.
I know.
Well, why not? They brought Torrey back.
Bring A.J. back. Then they'd have, well, this would be the first time that AJ and Maurer would be on the roster at the same time, correct?
Yeah. So Maurer's the guy who displaced AJ, yes. And then AJ's been bouncing around the baseball block, hasn't he? What, San Francisco, Chicago, Texas, Boston? Yeah, wow.
Yeah, he's been all over the place. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't mind seeing that. Eric Fryer has been okay as their backup catcher, but I think that they would like a little more offense out of position. But as you said, I think Kurt Suzuki has done a great job behind the plate handling the pitchers, but he's only hitting 220. And, you know, and I think he had an 0-for-14 streak that he snapped on Thursday afternoon against the Angels. He did get a hit in that game, but you got to get a little more than that. I mean, 240, 250, somewhere in there. And, you know, and I remember when folks were talking about Suzuki coming into the Twins organization before last year, saying, he's not much of an offensive guy, but he'll handle his pitchers well. But the record shows that when he was not hurt, when he was healthy, he was always a pretty good offensive catcher. But this year has been different, and I don't know what the reason is, and he's just had an off season for whatever reason. And but they need that offense because, you know, they're not really getting much offense out of shortstop, as you know. I mean, Santana last year was pretty good, hitting around, 290, and did a lot of good things, and they're not getting much there this year. So they need that. And I see that he put Aaron Hicks at the top of the lineup on Thursday. Kind of an interesting move to see him in the leadoff spot. And I don't know whether Paul Molitor did that strategically or whether he just wanted to switch things up because they had lost four in a row.
Here's the other thing. Now, the A's aren't that good right now. So losing 2 out of 3 to Oakland, you don't like that. The Angels are very good.
Well, the Angels are good.
So it's not a baseball sin that you lost 2 out of 3 out there in Orange County. I think the key now is what do they do moving forward? Yankees are good. They're right there in the mix in the AL East. Pittsburgh has been playing very good baseball. They got themselves in the hunt in the NL Central.
And everybody's waiting for Seattle
to
wake up.
They're the classic underachievers right now, I think, because a lot of people had them in the World Series. So yes, it's going to be a homestand that will, I think, be very intriguing for Twins territory. And I want to see what kind of crowds come out. Because I don't want to say we're in a pennant race yet, but we're in the second half. And this team is, if the season ends today, they're in the playoffs. I want to see if you feel the buzz, if you know what I mean.
Well, and I went online, I want to say it was Wednesday, and because my son, Tony, wanted to buy some tickets for games this weekend. I just kind of looking, and there were plenty of good seats available just about all weekend long, and particularly Sunday. It's kind of surprising to me with the Yankees. I thought he was going to struggle to find seats.
You know what I think's happened? The Twins had that 4-year disastrous rut they fell into with the 90 or more losses each year. And if you go back to 2011, they still drew well because they were playing off the newness of the ballpark, and a lot of people thought, well, this has to be an aberration. They got bad for a year. We'll stick by them. It was because they had a great run in the 2000s. And then you get to 2012, and they're still losing, but the fans still showed up. You started to see the erosion, I think, you know, in 2013.
I agree.
And 14.
You had some of the comeback last year because of the All-Star game.
Right. You had that bounce. And then once the All-Star game was over, people said, you know what, I'm done with these guys because they're not any good. And a lot of people washed their hands of the Twins, and now they're deciding, should I come back and invest my energy, my money, and my time into this ball club? And I think the Twins are finding that out. If they're hanging around on August 1st, and let's face it, they will be, August 1st is a week from Saturday. So
1 week away.
That's crunch time, man. I mean, that's the dog days. I sure hope the fans start coming out to the tune of at least 30,000 a night.
I hope so. I think that they should. I think that they will. You know, the other piece to this is I think that the extra wild card is good for September, but it might not be good for August because folks look at that and say, you know what? If they're still in it in September, I'm going to get down to the ballpark. And in August, that doesn't really matter. There's two wild cards. They'll still be in it in another month. I don't need to get out there in August. I think that there might be some of that laissez-faire towards the club. We'll see. Prove me wrong, Minnesota. Show up at Target Field this coming week and a half. 9-game homestand here.
Yeah. It's going to be a long one. And you know what I like? You don't like it, but you'll see some different teams.
I'll get it.
Only visit by the Yankees, only visit by the Mariners, and, of course, Pittsburgh making one of its rare trips into the Twins.
So excited.
I know you can't wait to see the Buccos.
So actually, they're a pretty good baseball team. I don't mind seeing them. But
well, Andrew McCutchen. I mean, if you're a baseball fan, right, worth seeing. Former MVP. Saved a guy from a tarp, you know, a couple of weeks ago. You got to like Andrew McCutchen.
I like his hair.
Yeah.
He's got one of the best dudes in Major League Baseball.
He does. He's got that Larry Jr. look.
Yes, he does.
And Irvin Santana.
Irvin Santana for that. Maybe they'll hang one when he's in town.
Could be.
Speaking of town, did you go to the Torchlight Parade on, was that Wednesday night, downtown Minneapolis?
No, I was at my kid's baseball pool party. I missed it.
A pool party?
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you do roll with the big timers, don't you?
Pool party. I was at the pillow party the Saints had. The pillow fight.
I tell you, that torch. I
gotta, so you were there.
I have to admit something. I have been living in the Twin Cities metro area since 1973. I had never been to the Torchlight Parade until this past Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah. 42 years. Yeah.
And I thought you were cultured.
Yeah. No, I...
Have you been to the Guthrie?
I have.
Okay.
Well, it's been a while, but I have been to the Guthrie.
I've been once.
Yeah. But I haven't been to the new Guthrie.
I've been to the new one.
Yeah. I was impressed. It's a pretty good parade. Never been. Actually, as it turned out, and I didn't know this before I decided to go, my older son was in a promotional venue working for a local media outlet. So, got to see. I was kind of surprised. Look up, oh, there's Paul.
Where is this parade? What part
right
of
down
Minneapolis?
Hennepin.
Okay.
Right down Hennepin.
People
parade, just like right down Hennepin from the Basilica all the way down to 5th Street, right where the light rail comes across.
All right.
Yeah, it's...
I'm more of a holodazzle guy, so I don't know much about the Torchlight either.
Yeah, well, it's pretty good. I liked it. I have to admit. I've never been before, but I shall return, in the words of General MacArthur.
They've hooked you.
I'm hooked.
He's going to be back next year. Watch out, Torchlight parade goers.
Yeah. Frolics this weekend.
Crystal, yeah.
Crystal Frolics. Big time softball.
You're all fired up.
Yeah, I'll venture over there. I'll be in and out all weekend. That and Target Field. All right. Reminder, visit our website, minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right. Rocky has lined us up a guest. Our good friend Larry Fitzgerald, the original, will join us. NFL training camps kicking off in days. Your Minnesota Vikings on Sunday.
Yeah,
they're in Camp Cato.
Camp Mankato.
And so we'll talk to Larry about the NFL. He's covered the Vikings for about 35 years now.
Yeah, he has. Long time. And, of course, his son, star with the Cardinals. And then big news this week on the fishing front with Mille Lacs, Lake Mille Lacs being shut down for walleye. The DNR going to pull the plug on Lake Mille Lacs. So we'll talk to Al Moss about that because we'll get his take on what that means to Leech Lake. Should be interesting.
So a lot coming up. Minnesota Score Radio, your Torchlight ticket.
Yeah.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we're back. Minnesota Score Radio, your purple ticket. Glad you're along for the ride this weekend as summer continues in Minnesota. And, of course, the Vikings. It's the golden anniversary of their stay in Mankato, Camp Cato, the 50th year.
Wow.
All begins this weekend. Only two other teams have a longer run going.
Well, Green Bay's got to be one of them.
Yeah, DePere, exactly. Green Bay and Pittsburgh and Latrobe, PA. So the Vikings and Mankato, synonymous with each other. I know very early on in the history of the franchise, they were in Bemidji in the Norm Van Brocklin days.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess Van Brocklin would run the two-a-days, full contact.
Oh, Lord.
Different era.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, up there in Bemidji.
You wouldn't get away with that these days.
No, not at all. But, yeah, so training camp starting up for most NFL teams. I miss the old Cheese League where you had the Bears at Platteville in Wisconsin,
yep.
The Saints at UW lacrosse, the Packers, obviously, and DePere and the Chiefs
in River Falls.
UW River Falls, yeah, and then the Vikings have always been in Mankato mostly. So but that used to be kind of cool. You could see a lot of NFL up here, but that's long gone now.
Chiefs were probably the last one to leave, right? Chiefs
I think so, yeah, I think
now?
So.
Speaking of football in Wisconsin, I see that they managed to draw 65,000 to an empty stadium for nothing going on the field in Green Bay.
Yeah, Brett Favre in that Hall of Fame. They
inducted him in the atrium. Did you watch the ceremony at all?
I did not.
It was on the NFL Network, so I got a chance to watch it. And It was very good. I mean, it was very well done, and Favre did a great job. It was fun watching it. But they did it in the atrium, which, if you've never been to Lambeau, it's an indoor portion of the stadium, kind of on the, is that the north side of the stadium?
It would be, the northeast, I believe.
Okay, so the northeast side of Lambeau, it's inside, so you have to, you go in and if you're in the stadium for the game, you could go to this atrium area where there's restaurants and, I don't know.
Heat.
Yeah, Heat. Yeah, Packer Pro Shop.
You can get married there.
I'm sure that
there's weddings.
Many
a
weddings in there. So they have this big deal. So it's indoor, and there's, literally hundreds of tables or hundreds of people seated at tables and so on in a very formal setting for the Favre retirement ceremony or the Favre ceremony to put him in the Packer Hall of Fame. And then in the stadium, watching on the big screen, are 65,000 people. Are you kidding me? You've got to be kidding me. It wasn't even like that was out. He was out on the field for the ceremony. If he was out in the middle of Lambeau, I kind of get that. But he wasn't even on the field.
So they were watching on those gigantic scoreboards known as Tundra Vision.
They had cameras out there to show people's reactions and so on. But really, I'm going to go and sit at Lambeau to watch something on a screen? And it's not even a game?
Yeah, only in Green Bay, right?
I can't make it.
And then the next day, he's down in Madison with his NFL
throwing
charity flag
passes.
Football game. Yeah, the former Packers against former NFL stars. A lot of Vikings played in that game.
What were his stats? I'm sure you know them.
Oh, I don't know them offhand, but I know Steve Jordan played the game. Sage Rosenfels was in the game. Donovan McNabb was in the game, despite his off-the-field issues recently.
Yeah. And Bill Cosby.
Henry Thomas. Wow. I wouldn't put McNabb in the same camp as Cosby. Wow.
Him and Dr. Huxtable.
Oh, my goodness. The Temple Owls aren't riding too high these days, are they?
No. No.
I mean, if you're going to draw an NFL analogy to Bill Cosby, the one I come up with is Darren Sharper.
Yeah, that's well, that is right.
McNabb's in a boat with a lot of other people.
Speaking of former Packers and Vikings,
yes,
by the way.
Yes, and Saints.
And Saints, yeah. That's right. It is amazing, though, that 65,000 people, and I think that I think the tickets were like $5.
But I guess I'm not surprised.
It's just amazing. I'm not surprised. It's just they just never cease to amaze me.
I think really some people probably looked at it like, now you can take a tour of Lambeau every day of the year, I think, except for Christmas.
Sure.
I did it once. But
on Christmas?
No, it was
Christmas Eve.
It was in July.
Easter.
Yeah, exactly. But there are some people who don't get a sniff of going to a game there. They just can't get their hands on a ticket. And maybe somebody said, you know what, I can get into the stadium, I can take pictures, Brett's in the atrium, it's Green Bay. That's the only thing I can come to a conclusion on.
What Viking would they have to do that for? If the Vikings had a Hall of Fame, what Viking would draw that kind of attention now?
Well, that's a great question. I want to say Fran Tarkenton and Alan Page, somebody like that, but
they're old.
They are old school.
That's old school.
Now?
I don't know if I can come up with one.
Randy Moss would draw a crowd, but not 67,000.
Ridiculous.
No, I there is no Viking that I can think of.
Had AP not had his off-field issues over the last year, and he decided to retire, you might get a bump similar, but still nowhere near that.
Are the Vikings ever going to get a Hall of Fame? Their own? They have a Ring of Honor, but
we got the world's biggest and best dome coming in.
We do.
So maybe. Did you take that tour, by the way?
I missed it.
I see they had a little media tour earlier in the week.
I missed it. I didn't get the invite. Actually, I did, but I didn't go. Did you go?
No. I didn't get the invite.
I am. I don't even want to go there. I am still in disbelief at what we're getting.
Still angry, aren't you?
It's more disappointment.
I
wanted
angry.
Tailgating. I wanted weather. I got neither.
I thought you were angry.
I can't be angry. They made their decision. My thought and vote doesn't count.
Well, that's for sure. First of all, you don't pay to get into the game, so they don't care what you think.
No, I just wanted a game day experience that might have involved a snowflake or a raindrop. That'll never happen in the new one.
I know.
You'll see it hit the glass, but...
Well, you're going to also see how beautiful it is outside.
That's my whole thing.
You're going to be sitting... I mean, the glass is almost the worst thing to do.
To tease.
It's going to be a big tease. The sun's going to be shining through. You're going to be sitting there in the middle of October after we've had a few crisp days, and you're going to get a nice... like 65 degree day in the middle of October, you're going to be sitting in that stupid dome watching football and while everybody else in the nation except Detroit is outside, and you're going to say, what in the world?
It's just ridiculous that it doesn't at least have a retractable roof. And I stand on my opinion. Even after it opens, I know I'll go in. I'll be impressed with the bells and the whistles. I'm sure, architecturally speaking, I'm impressed. It's a monstrosity. You drive by it, it's like a skyscraper.
Oh, it's huge.
But that's not what I want in a football stadium. I wanted a bigger version of TCF Bank Stadium. That's all I wanted. I don't care about a people's stadium. I don't care about rollerbladers in there. I don't care about the Final Four. I don't care about the Super Bowl coming here. I wanted an NFL venue where my team, my former team, the Minnesota Vikings, could call home and have an advantage with the weather like they used to, like they do in Green Bay, like they do in Pittsburgh, like they do in Foxborough.
Former team. Yeah, you hear that, Ziggy?
It's a messy divorce, and it will happen in January. And I hope it happens at the NFC title game at the bank. And it's 10 below.
In their last ever outdoor season.
And then I have to find another team. I think it's the Broncos. Broncos or Seahawks.
You're going west.
I can't go Green Bay. I mean, come on. Even though you and I love Lambeau, right?
Yeah,
we've
absolutely.
Gone many times. I thought about Kansas City, but I'm a west guy. Maybe I'll go Seattle or Denver.
Yeah.
And you're gonna stick with the purple, aren't you? Oh, you're kind of a brown guy.
I got the Browns. Yeah, I got the Browns.
They're outside at least.
They're outside. Maybe they should be inside.
They should probably be inside with no windows and nobody can see them.
Boy, isn't that the
I see that. I see that your team's in Cleveland now. I just saw this the other day in the New York Times. It was a big story.
Uh-oh.
That they have this sin tax on beer and cigarettes to raise money to renovate, I believe, Quicken Loans Arena, Progressive Field, and it's now got a First Energy Stadium or something.
Very good.
Yeah.
You're very
And they've already spent $800 million on those facilities, but they already need upgrades. And so the taxpayer in Cuyahoga County is paying for that. They're not thrilled.
No, they are. I can tell you that right now. Not happy about that at all.
Not many titles for all the money they've spent.
Zero titles for all the money they spent on those venues, right?
You're right.
Progressive Field.
The last title was a municipal, right?
1948.
And the Brownies.
And the Browns in 64. And the Cavs have never won it. So, yeah. Although the Indians and the Cavs have been pretty close recently.
Yep. And I would think the Cavs will make a run.
Well, I think they're going to get it this year. Mark my words.
If you don't get it in the next 3 years, it may never happen.
Yeah, you might be right. Because
I agree. I think they're going to win one. But it better happen in the next.
Because LeBron will be getting too old, and Love signed that long-term contract. And what's Kyrie Goodtill? This would be his fourth year, right? This coming season?
He's got to be. The first deal is 3 years, right, normally? Did he sign a second deal?
I think he's on a four-year.
Okay.
I think he's on a four.
He might be up for bid, huh, in the offseason.
Yeah.
Free agent.
Yeah. He'll stay. Where's he going to go? Better than that.
Not many places.
No,
Golden State, I guess.
Kevin Love, yeah. But
San Antonio.
He's not going to go play with Steph Curry.
No, I know. I mean, no, look, stay there. It's a good situation. And LeBron James, a rising tide lifts all boats, as your good friend Ronnie Reagan used to say. He's a rising tide. He will lift your boat.
he's already lifted the Love boat.
He sure has. There you go. Very good.
You like that?
I do.
He's staying. He's staying. He signed that, what, 4 or 5 year deal. So
I think we're all surprised by that. That he took the multi-year deal. One more year I would have been okay with. I figured that's what he'd do.
I thought that's what he's going to do, too, because of the new salary cap next year. But there might be something built into that where he gets some kind of a raise. I can't believe that he's not going to benefit from the new salary cap. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, they're all going to benefit. Wow.
Yeah, they all are. You and I aren't, but they are.
No. You see the NBA starting, I think, in late January on ABC is going to have Saturday night, like, game of the week.
Are they really?
Yeah.
I like that.
I do, too, and it's smart because with the exception of the Super Bowl, the NFL's gone away. So then you can kind of move in and fill a void. And I always like the game of the week format. Now, obviously, it's easy to do in the NFL because you only play one game a week.
Yep.
But the Sunday night concept, the Monday night concept works. Baseball has Sunday night baseball on ESPN. That's the closest they have. But the old game of the week on Saturdays when we were kids, and that was a staple.
Yeah, it was. And I liked the Sunday night baseball. And Major League Baseball, so, you know, Major League Baseball has made an effort, though. You know, you can't play on all games on Sundays are during the day except for Sunday night baseball. Now, like, for example, if the Rangers play on Sunday night, their game can only be televised locally. I think there's some kind of rule. And I know it's the Rangers because of the heat in Texas. They had some kind of, you know, they give into them a little bit there. But for the most part, everybody plays during the day on Sunday except Sunday night baseball. And that's part of, that's written into the contract. I'll be interested to see how they handle that for Saturday night NBA, because a lot of teams like playing on Saturday. Nobody's going to play during the day on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think there's only 8 of them to start. So it's not like, It's a major thing they have to deal with, but you're right. Does ABC want to just own the night with the NBA, or are they going to have a backup game like they used to do on the NBC baseball game of the week? That was a rain game. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They had their rain game.
I think you're going to see a lot of LeBron on Saturday nights. That's all I can say.
Oh, yes, of course. And probably San Antonio.
I think you're going to see
Steph Curry.
You're going to see some Steph Curry, but you're going to see a lot of LeBron. Let's face it. They're trying to sell commercials. They're trying to sell beer and pop.
If the Timberwolves get on one of those 8 Saturday night games, and I hope they have a flex package, that means the Wolves have done something relevant.
Right. They'll be better, but they're not going to be on Saturday night. Who are you kidding? Jeez. You are dreaming.
Saturday Night Live with Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins.
I don't see
it. Hey, Joe Piscopo was at the Saints game the other day.
Were you there that night?
I was.
Did you go out and say hello?
No, I was unable to do that. Joe's posse was around him.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
But he sung the national anthem in Frank Sinatra style, the old Saturday Night Live skit.
Oh, very nice.
And they had Stephen Baldwin there. You know how it is with the Saints. You just don't know what you're getting into walk into that ballpark.
Oh, yeah. Always look forward to a trip over to St. Paul. All right. Let's take a break. Rocky is waving feverishly. He says that the original is on deck. Larry Fitzgerald Senior. I will step away. You and Larry.
Well, this is
go
personal with you and him. Bulls, Cavs.
We cannot be on the air together.
Indians, White Sox. It just doesn't work.
Well, they're both kind of bad.
They are, but that Bulls, Cavs thing got ugly.
He's got a long ways to go. Larry, you're going to have to listen to me. You're going to have to wait at least till LeBron retires before that's going to go your way.
Hey, he's got Fred Hoiberg. He's got the mayor in Chicago.
Good
Minnesota
luck.
Score Radio, your LeBron ticket.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back with you for another segment. And joining us is our good friend Larry Fitzgerald, National Programming Network, Game Day Gold, Twin Cities media mogul. Now, Wally had a chance to be a part of this interview, but he declined because he's still bitter that the Cavaliers knocked out the Chicago Bulls in the NBA playoffs, and you have not acknowledged that.
Well, it you know what? It's personal, all right? I'm not going to be, you know, shucking and jiving about this deal. He knows, you know, when it comes to the Cavs and the Bulls, there's no negotiations, all right? Let's just leave it at that. And the Bulls have always been my heart, and the Cavs cut us out this year. And so we had to fire our coach. We got to start all over again, and it's all because of Cleveland.
The other thing that we can get into is who's going to win that fifth place battle in the AL Central? Your White Sox or Wally's Indians?
You know what? That's going to probably go to the very, very end. But I got to give Cleveland a lot of credit. That team has been tenacious. They're fighting. They got a good pitching staff. They got a great manager. He's won 2 world titles. And the White Sox, I tell you, man, they've got a terrific pitching, but they just can't seem to hit enough to be able to catch anybody in that division. That's why they're in last place.
All right, let's focus on the Purple. They begin training camp on Sunday down there in Mankato, 50th year at Camp Cato. You have covered the Minnesota Vikings for almost 4 decades, 37 years.
Yeah.
So you go back to the days of Bud Grant, and here we are in the Mike Zimmer era. How optimistic are you about this team in 2015?
Eric, there's nothing like professional football and training camp to just light a fuse for optimism. And last year, as you know, we dealt with the same things. It was a nightmare season for what happened to Adrian Peterson. And to see it happen and then to deal with it and see how it affected the football team and how the team week to week had to go in basically shorthanded and go out there and give this impression that we're ready and we're tough and we're going to win. And they knew they had no chance in many cases to win those games. But they finished 7-9. Teddy Bridgewater was terrific. once the injury, allowed him to take over and be the number one guy. And so this year, everybody's healthy. Adrian's back. The optimism is there. The defense is the signature of this football team. That is what Mike Zimmer is all about. And I am as excited as I've ever been, to go to training camp covering a Minnesota Viking football team that I truly believe has a chance to be a special Viking football team.
And you're right about Mike Zimmer. His trademark is defense. We saw it in Cincinnati. He was the defensive coordinator there, also in Dallas under Bill Parcells. You look at this defense, Larry, it's hard not to get excited. Xavier Rhodes, I think, has become a very good cornerback. They have the youngster Trey Waynes out of Michigan State. They expect him to have an immediate impact. They've got Anthony Barr, double nickels.
Mm-hmm.
They've got Everson Griffin. They have this kid Kendricks, who, like Barr's from UCLA. Harrison Smith will knock you into next week from that safety position. There's a lot of pieces on that defense that make people think the Vikings are for real.
Well, the Vikings went through a lot last year. They grew up. And the teams that beat them were good football teams. And they beat some pretty good football teams. And so I'm excited to see the benefits of loyalty. The Vikings were loyal to Adrian Peterson. And this season is going to show us a lot. Because they have put the pass in the past. And they have reconnected a great football player to his family, which is that football team. And so for me, that is what I want to see. I want to see the benefits of loyalty, of going back after what happened last year and showing people that you can play this game, you can play it at a high level, and you're going to put the pass in the past. Let's go win one.
Does this team need to figure out how to seal a deal? I remember when Leslie Frazier was the coach, they lost a lot of heartbreakers. Last year, same thing. They had a game in Miami, they let get away.
Yeah.
They had a game in Buffalo.
Yeah, absolutely.
They let get away.
Yeah.
You flip those two around and maybe you're 9-7 and in the playoffs. As you know in the NFL, Larry, you better win the close ones because that's how you punch your ticket to the postseason.
Absolutely. If anybody can win on a given Sunday in the National Football League, and if you get in position, and they were in those particular games, and they just flat out didn't finish it. And they're growing pains, but the reality is they learn from it because Mike Zimmer is the type of football coach that will sit down with you and he will go over with you what you did that didn't work, and he's going to make you learn what you need to learn. And that's why this season is going to be special, because he's got these guys focused on individually being better, and now he's got a great football player back so they can really dictate to people.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, I don't think you can minimize his return and the impact it can potentially have. The offensive line gets better just by his sheer presence. Teddy Bridgewater should get better. Kyle Rudolph, the receivers, Mike Wallace,
yep.
Charles Johnson. Everybody across the board gets better, and I have to believe we're going to see an incredibly motivated AP, who, if you remember when he shredded his knee a few years ago in D.C., and everybody said he'll never come back, he won't be the same, and he won the MVP the following season, I think he's going to have a boulder on his shoulder this year, even bigger than that season when he was the MVP.
And don't forget about Cordarrelle Patterson. I think Cordarrelle Patterson's gone through, a lot of people were disappointed with his season last year, and he's gone through some justified self-examination of how do I make myself a better football player by doing the things mentally, psychologically, consistently. That's what they want from him, and hopefully the tutoring that he's gotten and the learning from route running and that type of thing is going to improve. And if he does, boy, watch out. You can't put 10 guys in the box with Adrian Peterson and have the kind of speed that they've had with Wallace now and Peterson. They're going to really have some fun this year.
All right, good stuff, Larry. I see Wally. He's back now into the facility. He's wearing a LeBron jersey, so you better exit or this is going to get ugly. There could be some fireworks. Larry Fitzgerald, our guest, Minnesota Score Radio, your Chicago ticket.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. We are joined now by Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss with our weekly Leech Lake Fishing Report. And Al, it is definitely midsummer weather we're dealing with. We've had the heat cooled off a little bit. Heat is back again. And the fish movement has got to be slow right about now, isn't it?
Yeah, everything has really slowed down, Wally. I mean, it's, and I think it's in every lake that you're talking about. That's and definitely because of the water temp too. It's up high. So at this point, I guess we would take, as far as leech is concerned, the thing that has stepped up is muskies. We have reports of people catching, multiple fish in the rocks, meaning in the Pelican area. And in the South Shore area, basically, you might find some in Capicona Bay. But they're burning little bucktails over the top of the rocks. One party had five fish between 45 to 49, and that's pretty good. Size-wise, or color-wise, usually on Leech Lake, it's going to be a black bucktail with a silver braid or something like that. If it's a dark day, then go to an orange braid. But that activity is good. Pike, it's the same thing. Pike are numerous. You're going to catch them on the bucktail switchbaits. I don't care where you go. Mainly in the rocks, you're going to catch better fish because it seems that the rocks are adjacent to deeper water. So I take a look at that, and that seems to be the part pertaining to the most activity. Walleyes have slowed down, though I talked to several guides. They're catching 3 to 8 a day. That's keepable fish, so it's not totally dead. And, again, that's low-light area or times, and I would suggest, again, evening time using slip bobbers, probably with leeches and crawlers, and then going also with crankbaits now as we approach the dark night. Fish in about 15 feet of water first, then crawl up on top of the bars.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about what's going on Mille Lacs and how that's going to affect Leech Lake going forward. We're talking to Al Moss right here on the Leech Lake Fishing Report on Minnesota Score Radio. More with Al right after this timeout.
Attention fishermen, Sugar Point Resort is fishing central on legendary Leech Lake. Sugar Point has a large protected harbor offering full gas and bait services with a wide choice of rental boat and motor combinations or a slip for your own boat. Sugar Point is also a great place for your family vacation with 1, 2, or 3 bedroom fully furnished modern cabins with beautiful lake views. And they also have complete campground facilities at Sugar Point. Sugar Point is a great place for kids with 2 playground areas, paddle boats, basketball, volleyball, and an enclosed heated pool. So what are you waiting for? This summer, make it a trip to remember at Sugar Point Resort on Leech Lake. Visit them online at sugarpoint.com.
For a memorable experience this year with some of the best fishing you'll find anywhere, make plans for Agency Bay Lodge on beautiful Leech Lake. Agency Bay Lodge is uniquely located on a peninsula that juts out in the center of Leech Lake, where you'll have easy, quick access to the best fishing spots on the lake. The staff at Agency Bay Lodge will help you locate where the fish are biting. Their full-service dock offers fueling, bait, and modern, fully equipped boat rentals. Come and stay in their comfortable lakeside log cabins, or if you're not fishing, stop and enjoy a pizza, sandwich, or a beverage at their lakefront bar. For the best fishing and a great vacation, remember Agency Bay Lodge on Leech Lake. For more information, visit them at www.agencybaylodge.com.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio. Well, Al, I guess it's kind of a good news, bad news scenario with Mille Lacs being shut down. I know there's some controversy involved with that. In your estimation, how does this affect? Does this put a lot of pressure on Leech Lake, or is it that time of year where it doesn't really matter much?
Well, I think at this time of the year, you aren't going to see a lot of the pressure taking place because it's family time, but definitely it's going to play a role as we go towards the fall, and it will apply more pressure to the lake. Our lake is in good shape up there, Leech, but people want to catch fish, you know, they're going to have to go to where they can catch fish. So that definitely is going to play a role into what's going on in the future here, Wally. But I would suggest to the people that, you know, if you have kids and you're up in the area and you're at family time, but if you want some activity for them, it's the fish on Leech, go to the little lakes, take some sandwiches, pop with them, put some bobbers on, get to the shorelines anywhere, and you'll catch plenty of panfish. Just check with reeds or other places where you can get accurate data. That's what we would do at this time. The bass fishing will continue to be okay. And like we said, the rest of it, that's going to be up to you to go chase whatever species you want to. But walleye fishing will be slow for a while until the temperature goes down.
All right, Al, good stuff. Great information this week, and we'll look forward to it. I know you did some fishing on Superior this week. We'll talk about that next week. I want to know what's biting on the Big Lake, but we'll talk about that more next week. Have a good weekend.
Okay, sounds good, Wally.
All right, that's Al Moss, Hall of Fame fisherman, with us on our weekly fishing report here on Minnesota Score Radio. We're back with more after this timeout.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
And we're back to wrap it up, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric with you, and we heard from Al Moss, also from Larry Fitzgerald.
Interesting about the fishing thing up on Mille Lacs, though. To have the DNR shut that down because the fish population, the walleye population is low. It's going to put some. I know Al said that, you know, particularly because of this time of year, the pressure won't be extreme because there's not as much great fishing in, you know, the heat of the summer anyway. But come fall, that's going to be interesting because people are going to start going to, you know, they'll go to Leech and they'll go to some of these other lakes, and the resort owners in Mille Lacs are going to get hammered by this.
Yeah, they're the ones who are going to get pounded, no question, because they rely on business. I mean, that's what they do.
Yeah.
And then, ice fishing up there obviously is a monster. I mean, if you drive by that lake in the winter, it's like its own special.
It's a
shanty town.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you see these shacks up. I mean, especially if you didn't grow up in Minnesota and you see that for the first time, you're like, what? Really? That lake's frozen and people are out there fishing? It's just, it's mind-boggling.
Well, so all the cars and trucks and everything else out there parked next to those shanties.
Yeah, make sure you get them off, too, when that deadline hits.
Yeah.
Steep fine.
Yes, it is. Are you heading down to training camp? I think we had this discussion last week. Vikings opening up on Sunday, training camp.
Well, I'm looking at the calendar, and there's potential that I might get down to Camp Cato. If not next week, then the week after. Are you going to go?
Tell me when you're going. we'll make it a date.
Wow. yeah, might be some kids coming with us, but hey, why not?
Oh, Lord. Somehow I knew that was coming.
Entertain the kids at Vikings training camp.
Although, I could bring Tony down. He could use it as a college visit.
There you go.
I did that with Paul.
There you go.
I did that with Paul 3 years ago. He went down and took a look at Mankato.
Well, it'll be, let's face it, I mean, you're going to get the Purple Avalanche starting this weekend. You'll get those trademark shots, those money shots of the guys carrying their gear into the dome or the dorms and you know, all the stuff they bring in to stay for a few weeks. And then the next day they'll be on the field on Sunday, and then away you go. And we will be inundated with Minnesota Vikings coverage. But like I said last week, the good news if you're a Twins fan is they're still relevant.
Yeah.
So you have to pay attention to the Twins. And I'm glad. I'm really happy the Twins are in it.
Well, I think we should probably look at the following, not this coming week, but next week. Because the Twins are home all week.
Yeah, you're right.
I think we should inundate ourselves with Twins next week. Because I think this 9-game homestand is going to be very telling as to how this this final month of this month, well, final 2 months of the season is going to go. And then, the following week prior to their trip to Canton, I think that would be a good
one. Yeah, we'll want to preview Vikings Steelers Hall of Fame game heavily. I mean, that's something we're going to want to dig deep on, because the starters will probably play one series, just enough for NBC to put up the depth chart, and then they'll exit. I mean, you got five games. I mean, does Adrian touch the ball in that game?
Oof.
Does he touch the ball this preseason? Remember, there have been preseasons where he basically didn't dress.
And yeah, he'll get like one game, like usually the third game of the preseason. He'll get in for a quarter, and that'll be it.
Don't you think, though, given what happened last season, he played in one game, opener.
He's got to be out there.
I think he absolutely does. I think you spot him, and he's not a guy that is going to go out there and worry about getting hurt. If anything, the other guy should worry about getting hurt when he runs into him. So I think you got to give him some reps.
Yeah. I'm interested to see him run at TCF Bank Stadium.
Yeah, we've never seen that, have we?
On a weekly basis.
Maybe he's going to be a four-wheel drive running back like our good friend Chuck Foreman. Maybe we'll see him run in the snow.
Wow.
It's possible.
Well, anything's possible.
Plus, they end up the season in Green Bay. Remember, January 3rd at Green Bay.
That's right. So my annual trip to Green Bay is going to have to be in January this year, huh?
Yep.
I forgot all about that. Oh, that's no good.
Happy New Year.
That's no good. I may not make it this year.
Wow.
I don't like that. I don't want to go in
that
January.
Could be for the NFC North title.
I will not.
You mean the Vikes will already have it wrapped up by then, huh?
Yeah, they'll already have it wrapped up. Right. I wonder how many Aaron Rodgers jerseys were being worn at that that Brett Favre ceremony.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, there had to be a few. I don't know. I mean, come on. How spoiled are they over there? Rodgers, Favre, and then Bart Starr. Remember, he won 2 Super Bowls.
Well, they weren't spoiled from Starr to Favre.
No, they weren't.
They went about 30 years.
They were starving.
Yeah, starving, yeah.
But they've had a pretty good quarterback run. You know, like you said, with that big gap. But wow, they have it going on over there.
Yeah.
Can the Minnesota Vikings or somebody in the North bring them down?
We shall see. Your links a little banged up, huh? See, Simone is out for a while, and Lindsey Whalen. Neither of them are going to play in the All-Star game. They both were selected. Lindsey as a reserve, and Simone as a starter, but Simone's out for the year, and Lindsey Whalen got poked in the eye. So,
and Monica Wright's out.
Monica Wright's out. So they're making some. I see they're making some deals to try and keep the ship afloat.
Yeah, it's rough. I mean, and let's face it, most of these gals play in the off season, which really isn't an off season for them.
Yeah.
They're playing in Europe or China or somewhere. So there's a toll on their bodies. They play a lot of basketball and. I know they lost the other day to Connecticut in overtime, I think 78-77. They had 17,000 plus, a Lynx franchise record. It was camp day. All the kids were there. So,
were you there?
I wasn't there.
What are you doing lately?
I was doing some other stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
I couldn't make the Lynx game, but I did see they had 17,000 plus. So kudos to them. In fact, I think it's time we start to give some props to teams like the Lynx, who they've clearly got a niche. They get about 9,000 a night on an average, so they have established a solid foundation. They're winners. They've added seats to the soccer team up there in Blaine, Menu. They're getting about 7 to 9 a night, I believe.
And, are they really?
And the Saints are getting 7 to 9K a night at CHS. So those three teams, they're not the Vikings, Twins, Wild, or Timberwolves, but on their own, they're standing pretty strong.
Yeah. Well, and it is amazing, but you know, it's the growth of the market too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more people in this market than there were 20 years ago. So
just drive around on the roads.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Try driving down Highway 100 or 394 these days. You'll live it immediately.
Yeah, orange barrels, orange cones, seeing red.
Yeah, you're right. But there is something to be said for that, they've done all three of those that you mentioned have done a good job in finding their place in this market. And how it affects the other, you know what I think it might affect more than anybody is maybe the U of M sports. Because those teams seem to not draw as well as they should. Let's put it that way.
That's a good point. Because not only when you talk about this being a cluttered sports market where the Gophers are competing against the Big Four, but you have a lot of other sports that you're up against, and the Saints are competition.
Yeah, they are now,
and certainly Minnesota United is competition. The Minnesota Lynx, and I think you're right. It's just you can only slice the sports pie in this market up into so many pieces. I really believe per capita, what's the Twin Cities metro now, about 3.5 million,
something like that,
per capita. Name me a busier market in the country. You can say New York. But per capita, I don't know. Now, they have two of a lot of things. Los Angeles, you can't say anymore. Maybe in the day you could. They don't have the NFL out of the equation.
No. Nope.
The only one I can think of, at least of a similar market size.
For now, they don't have the NFL.
Yeah, they'll get it soon. Maybe Denver, because they have college hockey, like we do, Twin Cities. And they have all the Big Four. But they don't have the WNBA. Now, they do have the MLS. Phoenix would be comparable. But not many.
Yeah,
maybe
no.
Dallas-Fort Worth.
I agree.
And by the way, the Saints, you talk about a dominant team. I mean, last time I looked at the standings, they were 31 games above 500.
That is amazing.
So
I don't care what's, and especially in baseball, that is not an easy thing to do in a game of baseball.
No. It's funny, too, because you've been out to that park a lot, and so have I, and we both really enjoy it. I ran into Mike Vec at a game I was at a few nights ago, and I was just chit-chatting with him, and You know, he said, look, our goal here was to be part of the neighborhood, to not swallow it up. You know, we're not Target Field.
Yep.
That's different. He says, we need to get along with our neighbors and have them absorb us. And if you walk into the ballpark, you know, you don't really notice it until you're about a block or two away. It's very subtle. It does blend with that lower town St. Paul and the farmer's market and the other surrounding businesses and stuff. And I got to give them a lot of credit. Boy, that's a cash cow over there because their payroll, not that high.
No. Yeah, he's doing pretty good. He's doing pretty good for himself, Mike Vecchia is. And, you know, hats off to him. He's got a great venue and a very good product this year.
Boy.
And people are swarming over there because they weren't swarming to the swarm anymore.
No. They're in Atlanta.
All right. Reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com, home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, we're going to FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Al Moss, another to Larry Fitzgerald, also one to Rocky. For Wally Langfellow, I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your Lynx ticket.